You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, your host here, Colt Molesky, bringing you Timberwolves content. Make sure to check out the Locked On NBA podcast after you're done with the show. Again, the Locked On NBA podcast. It's going to have information and recent news on every NBA team, giving you updates from what's going on around the NBA, as well as some pretty cool regular guests. Make sure to go check out the Locked On NBA podcast. Give it a subscribe, download the episodes. Thank you so much for your support. Today, we're going to be covering a little bit of the Timberwolves-Lakers game. It's going to roll into a conversation about Butler, what this team exactly can do with him gone, and Josh Okogie versus Wiggins. We're going to get into all of that coming up. But first, let's talk about this win. Really solid game for the Timberwolves. The 124-120 victory at home over the Lakers. It was a tight one, 22 lead changes. The biggest lead for Minnesota was 10 points. The biggest lead for the Lakers, 5. Playing the LeBron James-led Lakers, I think a big one here, especially early on, 21 fast break points ended up being the total for the Timberwolves. Really good in transition. They played up-tempo. You could see it right away opening up, and I thought that they came out firing. I thought this was the best performance they've had in the first half and really the first quarter, but even the first half, if you look at the entirety of the way they played the Lakers, I know that Taj Gibson layup did not end up counting, and they were down by two, but I thought they came out firing really well. They've looked pretty sluggish in a lot of these opening halves to start out the season, and so I thought it was really good to see them coming out firing. Towns played really well. He was aggressive. He was fiery. You saw 4 blocks from this guy. You saw him really outplaying a lot of guys in the paint. I thought that the best play that kind of perfectly epitomized how much better he was than the Lakers in the paint was when he did the double offensive rebound to get the bucket, and it was just him and there's 3 Lakers players around him. There's just nobody to keep up with him. He ended up with 25 points, 16 rebounds, led the team far and away for the Timberwolves in rebounds. He was the only Timberwolf with double-digit rebounds. He had 9 offensive boards. I'm going to say that again, 9 offensive boards. Now, in case you don't want to do the math, when you have 16 rebounds and 9 offensive boards, that means you rebounded on offense twice more than you did on defense. He was a monster, giving the Timberwolves a lot of second-chance opportunities. And I thought those were the two. I mean, obviously, Butler, 15 points in the fourth quarter, 32 points in the game. He was a huge part of this. But I thought that overall, as a team, the Timberwolves were affected by, for the majority of this game, they were affected by Towns' ability to give them second chance points and their ability to speed up the pace of the game on the Pacers. And I thought those two things really stuck out. The 3-point shooting was much better, 48% on 29 3-point attempts. They looked very good from that range. Butler ended 6 of 7, one of his best 3-point shooting games in his Timberwolf tenure. 85% from the 3-point line, 100% for Anthony Tolliver. He went 2 of 2. I thought Anthony Tolliver in his 19 minutes, he had 10 points. I thought he was a very solid spark off the bench. I thought he played really well. And there was a couple late in that game, there's a couple times that 3, I believe, if memory serves, it was near the end of the third quarter. I thought he hit a 3 that I thought was really important for the momentum of the Timberwolves. I like what the role that he's found on this team. Derrick Rose played really well, 11 points, and he had 7 rebounds, 7 assists as well, helping out in a bunch of different ways. I don't know if you guys have seen, but the interview he did talking about how he wants to play for Sixth Man of the Year, I think it's definitely in the realm of possibility. And especially when you go and you get to the free throw line a few times, knock down some of those shots, but you're doing a bunch of the little things. You're helping the pace of a team. You're getting assists. You don't necessarily have to be a scorer, but you know he's shown that he has that scoring potential, and he can be that guy who puts up 20 points in a night, or he can be that guy who grabs you 7 assists. But he's very versatile. He's willing to – it took a few years of him bouncing around different rosters, but now I think there's a real willingness for him to fit into whatever role on a night-to-night basis a team needs him to fit into. And I think that's the difference between somebody who's an okay player off the bench and somebody who really is a key role player off the bench, is a willingness to be versatile, to be a different guy on different nights. And I think you're seeing that from Rose for the first time in his career. And it's awesome. It's the perfect spark plug for this Timberwolves team. I think he's played really well with a lot of the starters. And I think that he is one of those missing pieces that the Timberwolves didn't have last year for big parts of the year. And I think that it's showing up in a big way in how they run this offense this year. Another thing, this is definitely by far the best game for Josh Okogie. He had 3 steals, 17 points, 4 rebounds, shot 46% from the field, and he got to the free throw line a few times, 100% from there. It was, he was such a great athlete. It's so cool to see a guy who can not only get a turnover, but then beat you down the floor and get the bucket on the other end, beat you in transition after forcing the turnover. He is a superb athlete, and you can tell him just, you can see him getting better each game, making less mental errors, making more comfortable plays on offense every single game, becoming a better part of this team every single game. And through this win, you see a couple things, and some of them are not great. Some of them I'm not sure what to do with the information. And I was, after this win, I was looking at some stuff. So let's tackle the Jimmy Butler first before we get into Wiggins and Okogie, because that's going to be a whole conversation. But first, let's get into Jimmy Butler. So we're at a point in this season where it is becoming desperately apparent that not only is Towns really good but not enough quite yet for this team, but also that it seems like this team is not only in a spot where they are wedded to Jimmy Butler if they want to keep winning, but Jimmy Butler is dedicated to being out of this city. And I'm not sure that there's anything that can be done about either one of these facts, which is a bummer, because I don't know how good the Timberwolves are without Jimmy Butler. He has been a monster. He had another steal in this one. He had a couple blocks. It's not just offensively. Defensively, he's getting crucial turnovers, and I think you saw some of this from Okogie, where he can be a guy who is helping get extra possessions. I mean, if you're a bad defense, the way you can kind of mask some of that stuff and make, not hide it, but make up in a little bit for some of the defense is grab some extra turnovers, hurt a team with turnover points, and then when you're giving up a ton of points, that's the thing that kind of helps you edge out. You saw, I mean, this is a perfect example of a game at turnover points. The Timberwolves had 20, so they're going to give up 120 points, but if you can make up the difference and at least give yourself a little bit of an edge as far as turnovers and points, that's how you compensate in a small way for the defense being just egregious. And you see that with Josh Okogie, but you're starting to see that. But it's obviously the biggest way is having Butler out there help you with some of these defensive problems is, well, he's going to create turnovers. He's going to take away some things from another team. He's not going to make the defense a watchable prospect, but he's at least going to help your offense get some extra opportunities. And that's going to be consistent with him. Whereas Josh Okogie, it's a spotlight when he has 3 steals. And I don't know what the Timberwolves do to replace that, because nobody is sitting here and saying that they blow this team out if they have Wiggins on the floor. I think if they have Wiggins out there, this is probably around the same result. And Okogie has looked so good in this game. I'm not sure. Maybe they win by 10 with Wiggins, but I'm not sure that is the end result. I think that it's about the same kind of game. Whereas if you take Jimmy Butler out of this game, I think the Timberwolves lose. I really do. I think the Timberwolves lose this game. And I think you'd be hard pressed to find somebody who has a different opinion. So now the problem is there a way to fix this? Does firing Tibbs help? I don't think so. I think that Jimmy Butler wants to get out, and now the question is what young assets can you get in return? And I think that the Houston offer is still the best option on the table, but I don't think that makes the Timberwolves a winning team right now. I don't think adding a guy like Marquese Chris and a bunch of first round picks exactly equals a playoff berth for this team this year. And again, I think you'd be hard pressed to find another person. These are not hot takes. These are not revelations. If you're a Timberwolves fan right now, you have to come to grips with the fact that it's going to get a lot worse before it gets better, because the best player and probably a top 10 player, top 12 player in the NBA right now wants to leave. And games like this, when the defense is bad, games like this are going to be a regular basis for the Timberwolves, where it's a close game, a high scoring game, and without Jimmy Butler there to be a monster in the fourth quarter, without Jimmy Butler to grab you some extra possessions to make one or two defensive plays that you're just not getting from other guys, this team isn't going to win as many games. And it's a sucky position. That said, I think the move you still have to make is you still have to trade Jimmy Butler. You still have to trade Jimmy Butler. You have to swallow that pill, and you have to get this deal done. The Rockets are desperate. They are in a spiral, and you have to get this deal done. They're desperate enough to make this huge trade. You have to get this done. And so I guess what I'm trying to say is I realize all of this. I'm not naive to what the situation is, and you still have to do this deal if you're the Timberwolves. And I know that it's hard to say that coming off of a win where Jimmy Butler is so pivotal to a team that desperately needed that bounce back win, but the end result is you still have to trade Jimmy Butler. You still do. Even with all that on the table, you can't try and keep him around. You have to trade him, because if you let him walk over the summer for nothing, that's where you really, really lose this situation in the biggest fashion possible. And so don't let that happen. Please, Timberwolves. Please, please, please don't do that. All right, I'm going to talk about Wiggins and Okogie, but first we're going to get to some sponsors. You know, ever since I started this podcast, people have been asking me for advice. Usually, it's what team to bet on this week. The truth is, I don't know who's going to win. But if you think you know, you got to check out MyBookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's why I always tell people to bet with MyBookie. Trust me, guys. They are your best bet this season. They've been in business for years, have great reviews online, and their mobile site is easy to use. Lay down some cash and win big today. I would only recommend a service to my listeners that's been good to me. That's why I'm urging you to make your way to MyBookie. You win, they pay. They have in-game live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business, and for you fantasy guys out there, you can even bet on the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score each game. Join now and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use promo code Locked On to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code Locked On when you create your account to claim the bonus. You win, you play, you win, you get paid. MyBookie will match the listener's first deposit 100% up to $1,000. Again, you play, you win, you get paid. All right. Going to jump out ahead. I haven't seen, I was searching around the interwebs, the interlinks. I haven't seen this take, but I feel like it's on the cusp of coming. Wiggins has been out a few games now with his bruised quadricep, and Josh Okogie has been playing a lot in his stead, if you haven't noticed. And so I'm getting out ahead of it. I feel like the take is coming where you say, Josh Okogie playing better than Wiggins. Why do we need Wiggins? We should just trade Wiggins instead of Jimmy Butler. Fixes the problem right there. There's a lot of factors in that. First of all, Wiggins' contract, very hard to trade because it is a max deal for a player that had a bad year last year. Again, I love Wiggins. I'm not trying to come down on him, and I thought he's played really well when he has played this season. And this injury, let's remember, is the first time that he's really missed any substantial time in his NBA career. Very healthy, has been around the large part of the bulk of his career. I believe that he has missed a grand total of like one or two games before this stretch here. So he's been around. I don't think the injury is necessarily something that would prohibit teams from going after Wiggins. I think it's more his production last season that would do more to damage his reputation and his trade talk. That said, I don't think trading Andrew Wiggins is the move. I think that there's a way that this team can be really good when you let both players go out on the floor and play together. Let's take a look at some stats here. Andrew Wiggins, again, these are small sample sizes, but I think it's a timely spot to put these in because Josh Okogie has been starting a couple games. He's played in five games this year. Andrew Wiggins has four games played to his name. And again, one of those games that he started, he was in for only a few minutes before the injury. But let's take a look at some stats this year. Wiggins playing very well. Again, small sample size, but has been playing very well. He averaged 27 minutes through those four games, 15.8 points per game, 43% shooting in those four games, 31% shooting from the three-point line, averaging four attempts per game, 87% shooting from the free throw line, which is by far, in a way, his best mark to date, averaging four free throw attempts per game in those four games. Again, small sample size, but 87% blows his previous high of 76.1% out of the water, averaging three rebounds per game, two assists, 1.3 steals, another high mark for him, and his plus minus was positive 2.3. If you get to some advanced stats, defensive rating was down when he's out there, but the offensive rating with him out there in his 27 minutes per game, 121.2, and his assist turnover ratio, positive 1.33. He was playing well. I think he was a positive impact. He helped the defense run well. I think that he added another perimeter threat. I think that he was playing more confidently this year, had a little more bite to him on defense, and I think that confidence showed both in his willingness to go to the free throw line with the shots he was knocking down there, and just a confidence in shooting, the confidence in attacking on offense. If you watched him play, it looked different from last year, and it showed. I think it showed in the way he was attacking and being aggressive. You have more steals than he has had in his career. I believe that shows that he is trying to play more fluid. You have less turnovers than he had last year. And I know it's a small sample size, but the lowest turnover mark in his career. Just making less mental errors and then having confidence on defense to go out and make plays. If you're going to make a mistake, make it 100 miles an hour is what I've had coaches scream at me so many times before, as I'm sure any of you who have played basically any sport have heard before in your lifetime. And I think he was doing those things. Let's look at Josh Okogie's stats. Five games played, 27.8 minutes per game, right around the same minute mark, averaging 9.8 points, 34% shooting from the field, 21% shooting from three, averaging 4.6 three-point attempts per game, 85% shooting from the free throw line, but he's only averaging 1.4 free throw attempts per game, averaging 5.6 rebounds, 1.4 assists, 1.6 steals, 0.4 blocks, minus 4.4 plus minus his defensive rating. The Timberwolves doing better defensive rating, 109 when he's out there. The offensive rating isn't close to Wiggins, however. Assist turnover ratio is at a solid and even one when he is out there. Again, I think Okogie, you've seen some of the growing pains, but you've also seen his confidence build. You've seen him do things increasingly better. You've seen him grow each and every game that he's out there. I'm not willing to say that this team is better with one over the other. I think both have valuable talents. I think Okogie is just a crazy good athlete. But I would like you to explore, say you do trade Jimmy Butler next week, okay? Say you trade Jimmy Butler next week and Wiggins comes back, he's playing healthy. What does that team look like? I think the best version of that team is when you're playing all those guys together. Now, I think the best version is if Wiggins can come back healthy and you play Okogie, Wiggins, Butler, Towns, and then Teague or Rose at point guard. And you space the floor really well. If you look at lineups where they really space the floor, I think that you can see there's kind of a formula there. There's a way to run this where it can actually work. They have in a couple of games they've played Tolliver, Teague, Butler, Wiggins, and Towns when Wiggins was healthy. It wasn't a lot of minutes, but they averaged in 3.1 minutes per game. They did this in this lineup was showing up in two games, and in 3.1 minutes per game in those two games, they're averaging 5.5 points, shooting really well from the field, and only six shot attempts. I think that this team, if you're playing a bunch of guys around Towns that can really space the floor, I think this team adds another layer. I think you've seen them add kind of that space, that fast-paced transition layer. I think if you add another layer where you're really spacing the floor around Towns, got a lot of long, just athletes around them instead of Tolliver out there, you have Okogie, then you can really see some of this stuff unlock for Towns. You can really see some looks open up. And especially if you have that lineup and then Towns all of a sudden plays out into the corner, I think that that's pretty dangerous. And I think that opens up the paint wide for guys like Okogie and Wiggins to just dash and run towards, just rip towards the basket. I think that that could be fun. It could be fun. Oh, excuse me, pardon me. But again, that is with Butler. That is with Butler, a guy who is going to make your team better when he's on the floor. I think if you're looking at it and Butler is gone, I think this team is. I don't expect Okogie to replace Butler. I think he'll be even at his ceiling, just a different kind of player than Butler. But I think if you play Wiggins, Teague, and then maybe run them with either a mix of Derrick Rose and Teague both out there, or you run them with Tolliver and Teague and Towns. I just think that there is a formula for this team to be really up-tempo, fast-paced, and create some turnovers. If you have Okogie and Wiggins playing confidently and trying to jump all over stuff, trying to be pesky on defense. But again, Wiggins has to get healthy for all of this to work. And I want to put a bow on this, wrap this all up by saying Wiggins is not being outplayed or losing his spot to Okogie. He started out well. And growing Okogie is only going to help this team. And I think the best version of this team still ends with the best possible version of this team probably still ends with Jimmy Butler getting traded, Tibbs getting fired, and Okogie and Wiggins and Towns all playing together out there with a couple point guards or with Tolliver. And there's a way to run this all together. But I would not try and sell my Wiggins stock yet. I would not sell my Wiggins stock quite yet. And there is a formula for this team to be really fun without Butler. But I think that that does not include a winning formula, is what I'm trying to say. So Timberwolves fans, buckle up for Butler moving on, what that looks like, and sit tight on Wiggins. Sit tight on Wiggins. I think the stats show that he is playing more confidently, and that if you have a confident Wiggins and a superb athlete that's learning the ropes quickly in Josh Okogie, those two guys you want to hang on to. You don't want to sell Wiggins. And so I'm trying to get ahead of that kind of narrative that I feel is going to be jumping out in front of the Timberwolves soon here if Wiggins misses another game and Josh Okogie has a big game against the Jazz. Trying to jump out in front of that one. again, if none of you guys think that, then I'm glad we're on the same page. One other quick thing. I had somebody ask me this on Twitter, I believe, and just wanted to confirm if you haven't seen, they have the Purple Rain jerseys for the Timberwolves. They're going. I have not seen a date yet that they're going to throw those out there, but it's going to be very soon is the word that I heard. But the Purple Rain jerseys, inspired by, of course, Prince, for the Timberwolves are coming, and they're going to be awesome. It looks sweet. They're going to be awesome. It's going to be really cool to have them taking the floor in those. Look out for those in the very near future. Maybe against the Jazz. Not sure. Definitely, I would expect them next week for sure, though. They're supposed to be coming up very soon. So look out for those and look out for another podcast tomorrow. Thank you so much for listening today to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast.